take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, September 12th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. Time for another week, and I hope you had a great weekend. People all across America were observing a good thing and a bad thing. Of course, the good thing being the kickoff of the NFL season, and the bad thing being the 15th anniversary of the horrific attacks of September 11th, 2001. And the two items kind of mingled over the weekend as well, with some NFL players taking a knee or raising a fist during the national anthem as a protest to this country's lack of concern, shall we say, for black lives, for poor people, for a lot of things, I guess. And it's kind of ironic to me, because I always consider that this war on drugs, and especially this war on marijuana, is one of the catalysts that continues this racism and this propagation of violence and problems in plagued communities, the black communities and Latino communities. And the NFL, of course, is staunchly anti-marijuana, to the point where it won't even allow its players to use medical marijuana in the states where 20 of the 32 teams play, where it's legal. And so it just kind of flummoxed me a little bit to have this going on when the NFL is rejecting the legalization of marijuana, which could do so much to help exacerbate some of these problems that we're facing in this country. So we'll keep our eye on that for the rest of the football season and give you my take on it when we get a chance. But right now, let's start talking about marijuana. After all, this is a two-hour marijuana show. Coming up on our show today, we've got Dr. Mitch Erlewine joining us at 1:30 for our cannabis science segment, Cannabis Q&A. You can get your questions answered by one of the leading researchers on marijuana and its effect on society and culture. We've got our new phone number. You can actually call in live if you want to ask your question live. Our phone number here is 650-LEGAL-MJ. 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 534-2565. And I figured out how to get the Hangouts pop-up to work, so I should see your calls as they come in this time. At the end of the show today, or at least the end of hour one today, we'll have time for a radical rant where I'm going to tell you about the exquisite prohibition-supporting anti-marijuana legalization bat shittery of one of my favorite stoners against legalization, an attorney in California named Letitia Pepper. And I have been going rounds on Twitter today. If you've been following my feed, you're probably tired of me feeding the trolls. But I tell you what, man, it really builds up the radical rant. I got plenty to say today, and we'll get to that at the end of this first hour. Also coming up in the first hour, we've got our Behind the Headlines segment. And in Behind the Headlines today, we told you about that pharmaceutical company makes the fentanyl down there in Arizona that raised $500,000 to fight Prop 205. You know, they said they were doing it for the children. Turns out they were lying. Can you believe that? A pharmaceutical company lied. Lee Fong in The Intercept has the story, and we'll bring that to you in Behind the Headlines. In our drug war data mining, we're looking back at a story in USA Today about the DEA and how they are mining our travel records so that they can gain money through asset forfeiture. Then stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. Our phone lines will be open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. We'll tell you how Idaho is struggling with Western pot. We've got estimates for the cannabis industry topping $50 billion. We've got Congress pushing for drug testing for unemployment, cannabis to treat anorexia, Jim McMahon and other NFL players that are for medical marijuana, and more bat shittery from the anti-marijuana donor out there in Pennsylvania who gave $1.3 million
on CannabisRadio.com.
K Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You're going to be a
great granddad.
Pretty cool.
Morgan is Ray Dawn's son. Morgan and his wife Tracy, they've been trying to have a baby for quite some time. Did you hear what I said to Morgan?
What?
Do you know who the father is?
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I beat China all the time.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, September 12, 2016. Austin, Texas. Prosecutors in the most populous counties in Texas are increasingly dismissing minor marijuana possession cases, according to an analysis by the Austin American-Statesman. Quote, jurors would look at us like we are crazy, Travis County Prosecutor Dan Hamry told the newspaper. You're spending your time, our time, and the court's time on a small amount of personal marijuana? End quote. In 2011, Tarrant County, where Austin is located, dismissed just 9% of their possession cases, and Dallas County dismissed about 18%. Last year, Tarrant dropped a quarter of their cases, and Dallas dropped over 40%. Other counties throughout Texas seem to follow the same dramatic decline. Arrests for possession haven't budged much, but now some counties are using drug court programs that drop the charges if the defendant completes a rehab program. Annapolis, Maryland. Black lawmakers in Maryland are outraged that none of the state's recently granted medical marijuana business licenses belongs to a company led by minority owners. On Friday, Delegate Cheryl D. Glenn of Baltimore discussed possible emergency legislation to scrap the current licenses and reboot the 9-month process with new rules to better address diversity in the industry. Lawmakers had raised this point in 2014, but the Maryland Attorney General's office issued an opinion that taking race into account in licensing would be illegal without first proving discrimination already exists in the industry. One of the minority-owned companies that did not make the cut for licenses is considering suing the state for not taking steps to achieve diversity in licensing, asking for the entire process to be restarted from scratch. Patient advocates counter that there has already been too much delay in starting the program, and starting licensing over now would just put the first medicine for patients even further down the road. Sacramento, California. While the eyes of the nation will be on California as it decides on statewide marijuana legalization this November, Californians will also be deciding on 62 local marijuana measures that will impact legalization if it passes. The variety of proposals include local marijuana tax measures, ranging from 2.5% to 20%, limits on dispensaries, and bans on commercial grows. About one-third of the local votes came by way of citizen initiatives, and some of the remaining two-thirds were placed by local lawmakers to compete with the citizen initiative. In Costa Mesa, for example, two citizen initiatives propose a limit of 8 or 4 dispensaries, and they face off against the city council's measure banning marijuana shops. Officials estimate the local taxes on the ballot will bring in as much as $22 million annually to cities and counties. Ottawa, Canada. Canadian Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale slammed the, quote, ludicrous situation, end quote, that has denied a Canadian man entry to the United States because he admitted to past marijuana use. Matthew Harvey was barred entry to the U.S. when customs agents asked him whether he had ever used marijuana recreationally. Harvey, a medical marijuana patient, admitted he had tried marijuana before joining Health Canada's medical marijuana program, but he was not carrying any marijuana at the time. Customs doesn't ask about marijuana as a matter of course, but may bring up the issue if they suspect someone of smuggling. Harvey's work in British Columbia's marijuana industry may have tipped off the agents to question Harvey about pot. Ironically, Harvey was traveling to Washington State, where marijuana is legal, when he was denied entry. This situation will only get more complicated as the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is currently initiating marijuana legalization in all of Canada. Raleigh, North Carolina. New data from public policy polling has Florida's Medical Marijuana Amendment 2 sitting at 70% support, well over the 60% it needs to become a part of the Florida Constitution. Only 23% of those surveyed oppose the amendment. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, September 12, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at a story published today by Lee Fong at The Intercept. The title of the story, Pharma Company Funding Anti-Pot Fight, Worried About Losing Business, filing show. This, of course, refers to Incis Therapeutics, Inc., last day of August, August 31st, they donated $500,000 to the group that's opposed to Proposition 205 in Arizona. That would be Arizonans for Responsible Drug Policy. Of course, it was kind of ironic that they were donating to some group called Responsible Drug Policy when INSYS is one of the most irresponsible drug manufacturers out there. Been investigated by 6 different states, already settled with the state of Oregon. They got some other lawsuits pending. All sorts of pay-to-play accusations and fraud and pushing this highly addictive drug of theirs on the market to off-label uses, something like 70% off-label uses. It was originally made for people with serious late-stage cancer pain. It's a fentanyl sublingual kind of spray or drug or liquid or whatever. Fentanyl, of course, is the opioid that is 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. Okay, so responsible drug policy, my ass. This is a company that is nothing better than a corporate drug pusher. So when they put this $500,000 into defeating marijuana legalization in Arizona, they of course said that they were doing it for the children. Yes, of course, the children. The spokesperson told the Arizona Republic that the company opposes the legalization measure, Prop 205, quote, because it fails to protect the safety of Arizona's citizens, and particularly its children, end quote. Yeah, because, you know, drug companies that manufacture synthetic super heroin have a lot of concern about the kids. That's their first priority, is the kids, right? Well, Lee out at The Intercept has done a little digging, and he took a look at the investor filings for INSYS. Now, it's interesting to note that INSYS, and they're based out of Phoenix, by the way, INSYS only markets one drug. It only markets this fentanyl thing, Subsys, I think, is what is their brand name for it. That's the only drug they're pushing. And there was some theorization that, well, they're putting $500,000 against legalization because they've seen the numbers. They've seen that in the states that have access to marijuana, that there's far fewer pharmaceutical drugs that are prescribed to people, far especially when it came to painkillers, and that would be, you know, their bread and butter. But that didn't really wash with me, because that data that show far fewer prescriptions referred to the medical marijuana states. Arizona's had medical marijuana since 2010. So INSYS is a little late to the party if the point was to forestall a reduction in painkiller sales because of access to cannabis. Well, the filings that The Intercept has taken a look at here offer a little bit more clarity to what's going on here. According to Lee, he writes, quote, INSYS is currently developing a product called the Dronabinol Oral Solution, a drug that uses a synthetic version of THC to alleviate chemotherapy-caused nausea and vomiting. In an early filing related to the Dronabinol drug, assessing market concerns and competition, INSYS filed a disclosure statement with the Securities and Exchange Commission stating plainly that legal marijuana is a direct threat to their product line. And here's the quote. Here's the quote that INSYS wrote to the SEC, you know, stock market people. Quote, legalization of marijuana or non-synthetic cannabinoids in the United States could significantly limit the commercial success of any dronabinol product candidate. If marijuana or non-synthetic cannabinoids were legalized in the United States, the market for dronabinol product sales would likely be significantly reduced, and our ability to generate revenue and our business prospects would be materially adversely affected. Yeah. They also explain that dronabinol is, quote, one of a limited number of FDA-approved synthetic cannabinoids in the United States, and therefore, in the United States, dronabinol products do not have to compete with natural cannabis or non-synthetic cannabinoids. So, not a surprise here. Not a surprise, but it's nice to know that we have the actual proof. And, you know, the pharmaceutical companies have been opposing marijuana legalization quietly for a long time, behind the scenes. They funded the, you know, the community anti-drug coalitions and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, all that kind of stuff. But it's always donate the money kind of behind the scenes and let the propaganda people take care of it. This donation by INSYS is the first one I can point to that it's open out in the open, plain as day. They're battling legalization because it's bad for their bottom line. Well, Insys and the rest of you pharmaceutical companies, if you don't like marijuana legalization, you're not going to like the future, because we are tired of having to pay your markups and we want to treat ourselves with a plant.
Look at yourself before you pass judgment.
That's a good thought. Happy 420 to the state of Utah. 420 in the Mountain Time Zone. Happy 420 to all of you. Hope you're having a good day, and make sure you get your safety briefing taken care of. We'll be right back with drug war data mining, how the DEA is spying on our travel records for profit.
Maui Waui, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
Senator Mark Madsen of Utah. Mark, welcome to the show.
Everybody kind of turns a blind eye. They obviously have to go to some other state.
Representative Lou Fredericks.
We're going to get something on the order of nonviolent possession offenses.
State Representative Kathy Tilton.
Where does it go from personal use to commercial use?
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belleville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I am a round peg in a square hole.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy, because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at an expose that was published last month in USA Today. Don't know how I missed it, but I definitely want to talk about it. And it regards the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, which has been regularly mining the travel information of American citizens for profiling purposes to try to find who might be carrying money for drug traffickers. Now, the purpose, of course, is not to make arrests. Purpose is not to build any sort of criminal case or take down any kingpins or cartels or anything like that. It's just simply a way to make a buck. This, of course, refers to asset forfeiture, and we've talked about that a lot of times on the show. The part of our law that says cops, if they believe that your property or your money is the ill-gotten gains of criminal activity, they can seize it. They can just take it. Oh, $15,000 in cash? Well, we think you might be a dope dealer. We're going to take that cash. And this is exactly what they've been doing by profiling passengers on Amtrak trains and most of the major U.S. airlines, and from a network of travel industry informants, including ticket counters, back offices at travel agencies, and so forth, according to USA Today. So what they do is they single out any of the people that they think are suspicious. This could be just traveling one way to California. Oh, you're headed to California, must be a dope dealer. Or you bought a ticket in cash. Oh, you paid cash, must be a dope dealer. Now, this isn't the NSA metadata, all that stuff we learned from Snowden. This is a separate whole thing. We still have all that to worry about, too, you know, about them spying on us without warrants. So this has been in play with the DEA for years now. According to the USA Today report, the DEA patrolled 15 of the nation's busiest airports and seized more than $209 million in cash from over 5,000 people over the past decade, just by concluding that, well, it was part of drug trafficking. Now, again, with this asset forfeiture, they don't have to prove that you don't have to have drugs on you. They don't have to prove that you were doing anything. You could just say it was, you know, a suspicion, a hunch, a theory. And if they got the littlest bit to tie you to that theory, they keep the cash. And your cash is guilty until proven innocent. You have to go to court and prove that your cash was actually legitimate cash to get it back. And of course, a lot of people can't afford the time or the money to do that. And so the DEA just gets to keep, well, some of the money. Most of the money gets passed on to the local police departments that help the DEA. So there's this incentive for the local cops to be pointing out, you know, hey, check that guy out. He might have some money on it. So they seize the money. They give you a receipt. Sometimes, you know, we're talking like $50,000 that they'll take from people and then just send people on their way, right? No arrests. No crimes. Now, USA Today asked the DEA, just how are you getting these travel records anyway? And the DEA would not comment. But in their investigation, they did find some of the details that are going on. There's one case in 2009 where agents took over $44,000 from two people traveling on the train from Denver. Because they did, quote, a routine review of the computerized travel manifest for Amtrak. So DEA is just looking at all the travel manifests for all the trains without warrants, without cause, just fishing expeditions, really. There's 87 cases that USA Today found where agents got tipped off on someone just having a suspicious itinerary. Just they, you know, bought their ticket with cash, or it's a one-way trip, no luggage or whatever. They were able to profile passengers on Amtrak, on the airlines, often without the airlines or Amtrak's consent. American Airlines spokesman said, quote, we won't release that information without a subpoena, end quote. So, how are they getting into this data? How are they getting to this? It's the suspicious itineraries. It's what leads then the officers, the agents, to start questioning someone. If that person's acting nervous, they then bring in the drug dog, search through their bags. There are many stories that they list here in the USA Today article. Here's one, $25,000 seized from a guy's from a lady's suitcase boarding a flight from Detroit to Chicago. She was on a one-way ticket to LA. She said the money was her boyfriend's money from his Postal Service retirement account so they could buy a truck. But since she had had a conviction, prison time for driving marijuana into the U.S. from Mexico, they figure, well, she's a dealer. And the drug dogs came in. They could smell drugs on the cash. But, folks, there's drugs on 90% of American cash, right? That's the lamest excuse they have in their arsenal, the cops, is when they, oh, the dog alerted to your money. Well, he should. There's drug residue, detectable drug residue on 90% of U.S. cash, folks. It's just an automatic warrant on a leash anytime they bring that drug dog in.
$52 million seized by the DEA out of LAX alone. It's an amazing story. We'll dig into it more on another show. When we return, Dr. Mitch Earlywine with the latest Cannabis Q&A.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Each year on my birthday, every American gets a cupcake.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our Cannabis Q&A and a quick update. We've got a new phone number here at the Russ Belville Show. The phone line is 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. And we've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine on Skype joining us. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Hope you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Clear as a bell. And we've got so much to get to that I want to jump right into it. So let's start with this story out of Stanford University, where engineers there are supposedly developing the Potalyzer, a saliva test for the cops. Tell us about this, Dr. Mitch, and are they going to be successful at it?
I'm super impressed with the mechanics behind it, but the rationale is still not right. Unfortunately, so many nanograms per milliliter of spit for you is probably completely different than for me. We need roadside sobriety tests, like I've been saying since 2002. If you can juggle and ride a unicycle along the side of the road, odds are high you can drive. I have no idea, depending on tolerance, what any of this is going to mean. I am super impressed that they can detect THC in little bitty amounts of spit, but it doesn't really tell us about how you're going to drive.
And it just seems to me, well, like I always say, it's not like legalization invents cars and pot smokers. We've been around for a long time. But it seems to me that if they need a test to try to figure out that someone's too high to drive, then they're not very observant. Shouldn't there be, you know, bloodshot eyes? And for that matter, how do you get a spit sample out of someone with dry mouth?
Good point.
Well, we will keep our eye on this stuff, you know, this podalyzer stuff. I'm afraid there's so much public will for it, it might be tough to fight this, but we'll keep an eye on it. All right, let's get to this other story. Great study. We get so many questions on this about marijuana use and pregnancy, and there seems to be some good news out of this latest study. Can you run that down for us?
Russ, no matter what I say, I end up nailed to a cross on People magazine with this. So here's a huge meta-analysis basically saying that cannabis use during pregnancy across 31 different studies with literally thousands of different women suggests that there really aren't any negative consequences as far as risk for low birth weight is concerned. Now, can other things go awry? Well, yeah, of course, but they weren't all measured in these. There are some other data suggesting you might be more likely to end up in the NICU if you're a heavy cannabis user, but it turns out that may be partly a product of socioeconomic status correlates, which is part of another study we're probably going to get to later on. Super heavy doses in animal work does suggest that maybe, you know, you shouldn't smoke 9 pounds of pot a day while you're pregnant, but that's hardly news. And we don't know about the long-term data. There was one study suggesting the kids were more likely to have ADHD if their moms used cannabis during pregnancy, but they forgot to measure ADHD in the moms. So all in all, there isn't a lot of evidence to suggest that this is a terrible idea, but if I say it's not such a bad idea, I get emails really ranting.
Yeah, even the headline here says marijuana is safe during pregnancy. Experts do not encourage. So I'll put you in that expert category, right?
Thanks kindly.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that stood out to me on the write-up on this story was how they did initially find some problems that they had found in these other studies, but once they corrected for tobacco use, they went away. Is that something that's confounding a lot of these reports that we get that are kind of anti-marijuana?
And we've seen tons of evidence literally going back close to a century now suggesting that cigarette smoking during pregnancy is a terrible idea. Circumference of the head is decreased and birth weight is definitely down. So if you try to statistically control for it, though, you're sort of making certain assumptions that we really can't make. Obviously, one cannabis joint and one cigarette aren't the same. We have no idea how deep somebody inhales. It's just kind of a rough estimate. But clearly, if you don't do something to control for tobacco use, you're not going to get the results you need.
In this next story, science has finally figured out why I have such a low bank balance. According to this, science says smoking pot will make you poor. What's wrong with that?
We've actually seen correlational data in the economics literature suggesting this isn't the case at all, but they do do some laboratory studies. We've seen these even since the early 90s, where if people are high and then they're offered a chance to do some ridiculous task for a small amount of money, what a surprise, they say, no thank you. I think of this as more, I'm unwilling to sell widgets for the man, but other people see this as some kind of issue akin to amotivational syndrome. I really want to emphasize that there is no such thing as amotivational syndrome, and Tom Denson and I showed that actually what that may be is people who are clinically depressed and using cannabis to self-medicate.
The late comedian Bill Hicks used to say that cannabis doesn't make you lazy. It just makes you realize that some things aren't worth the fucking effort. So maybe there's something to be said for that. As I was covering this story last week, I read it in a lot of different outlets. And one thing stood out to me, Dr. Mitch, and it was that this finding about the while you're high, you'll be lazy or poor. That was, you know, slam dunk. Science says this is for sure. But the other finding that long-term chronic cannabis consumers, when they're not high, had no different motivation than controls. Oh, well, you know, this is a preliminary thing and we need more study and we're not sure and we'll have to replicate.
In fact, we've seen this down in Costa Rica where actually the people don't actually buy cannabis until they have enough money to pay for it. So yeah. It's the people who are employed who seem to do better. It's really just a question of your social situation and this idea that there really is no lingering effect on motivation once the intoxication period is over is pretty much something we can count on.
Yeah. All right. There's new data that came out from the Monitoring the Future study, and it surfaced in the news in a few different ways. I'll kind of throw these three different stories together. One was that pot legalization dramatically decreases drug use. Another said that pot use rises on college campuses while other drug use declines. And a third one, and this one even got satirized on Jimmy Kimmel Live and Stephen Colbert's show, that parents are more likely to smoke weed than teens. Give us your impression of these new data from Monitoring the Future and what it means about legalization.
Well, I think it's knocking on the door that we've been saying all along. In fact, yes, we do have evidence that teens are starting to get the message that cannabis really isn't for them. Their parents, however, really don't have much to fear except legal ramifications and not even a bigger waistline, as we'll show in those other data. The pot use rising on campus and other drug use declining is something I'm absolutely delighted to hear. I was particularly concerned around 2001 through 2005 there, where it looked like Adderall was going to become the new thing, and that seems to be down. And then these other CDC data, not only does pot legalization dramatically decrease drug use, it's decreasing drug use where we really want to see it among the teenage kids. So legalized areas do not have heavy use of folks who are underage, in part because the underground market is just starting to dry up. It's really not worth it to sell to somebody who isn't of age because you're cutting off your financial resources.
You know, this is another one of those stories where there was multiple reports on it, and a lot of them focused on the idea that the perception of harm from cannabis is down and the use is up, and therefore they're causal there. You know, we think it's less scary, so more of us are using it. But they buried another finding in that same study that was a more positive one. So what do you think about this perception of risk element?
So we've never been able to actually manipulate that, except in some pretty artificial situations where these drug prevention efforts come in and really try to hammer the risks home. And then the kids do say, yeah, I see it as risky. I'm less likely to use down the line. But we don't even have 2-year follow-up data on some of those. So it's been correlational throughout, and not even in the same individual sometimes. It's just these giant samples where, in general, the more risk, in general, the less use. But it's not a very strong effect. I think it's counting for maybe 9% of the variance. There's more going on here than just that simple one-to-one relationship.
And to conclude here, we've got a couple of studies on marijuana and health, and one of them restates something that we've heard before on the show, and that's that cannabis consumption may lead to a lower body mass index. And then another study that came out just before I went to air was talking about how cannabis can be good for the treatment of anorexia. Don't those two things kind of seem the opposite, right? One is going to make you skinnier, the other one's going to make you eat.
It's kind of weird because the lower body mass index stuff has actually all been correlational. And this is now the fourth giant data set to confirm that, yes, cannabis users are generally smaller on body mass indices. But we've never really seen somebody manipulate the variable, somebody randomly assign folks to use cannabis. And we don't even have pre-post. So if you happen to have lost weight after you started using cannabis, could you go ahead and email me and tell me? Because I got to get something better than this published sooner or later. Now, the anorexia thing, I'm doing a lot of clinical work with anorexics right now in Albany. And I'll tell you, they're really conflicted about this, but it does make their initial meals, you know, if you've been basically, you know, fasting day after day for a year, it's super hard to start eating again and have it be comfortable. And they know it's going to enhance appetite, which scares the hell out of them enough. But those first meals coming back that are normal sized actually are uncomfortable for the stomach. And cannabis actually eases that pain, much like we've seen with joint pain and everything going back to Shenang in 2800 BC. So I think there's some potential here, but everybody's just super freaked out by the whole thing. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine is the host of Burning Issues here on CannabisRadio.com. And if you've got a question for him, but you're just too shy to bring it up on the air, you can always send it in privately via email. Just email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And real quick, who do you have or what can we look forward to on the podcast?
So my student, Raina Maher, is still up there. Some really intriguing stuff on basically how neuropsych testing of cannabis users is probably a little suspect. And she just got a paper published basically showing that not only undergraduates, but actually neuropsych testers have great JDAR. They can tell a pot user from a non-pot user. So the whole idea that you're getting your testing done blind may be a little bit suspect.
Well, Dr. Mitch, I got to thank you for introducing JDAR to my vocabulary. That's the first time I've heard that one. That's a good one. I like that. All right.
Well, we slipped it into the title of the paper, so by all means, enjoy.
Very nice. Thanks, Dr. Mitch. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. We'll have time for a radical rant here coming up just after this two-minute break on the exquisite anti-marijuana legalization, pro-prohibition bat shittery of Letitia Pepper in California.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they were all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know. And that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today in the Radical Rant, I got to relay to you my Twitter war of today with the queen batshit of the crazies, a true stoner against legalization, so-called attorney Letitia Pepper. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, then you've been following my show for a while, because back in the day, in 2010, when California had Prop 19 on the ballot, attorney Letitia Pepper emerged as one of the first stoners against legalization. Now, it's an interesting thing dealing with her, because it reminds me that something my dad taught me when I was younger, and that's that, you know, people can have all sorts of education and letters behind their name, but that don't mean they're sane. That don't mean they're smart. Just means that they sat in the same place for 4 years and did all the assignments and turned them in. Okay. Letitia Pepper is a clear case of one of these, right? She's got her, you know, law degree and she's passed the bar and she's got all these cases she's worked on in California. But that doesn't mean she's not a little afflicted with the tinfoil hattery. So she was against Prop 19 back in the day, and now she's back against Prop 64 because it's not true legalization. And so we went rounds today on Twitter, and it was fascinating to me to just try to uncover some of the thinking, the mindset that's going on in some of these people's heads. So first of all, she was screaming about how California's Prop 64, you know, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, the legalization initiative, how it's a pack of legal lies Asian, legal L-I-E-S, lies Asian, and government plus corporate control of all food, meds, and global fascism. Wow. You know, I read all 62 pages of Prop 64, and I don't remember the part about global fascism, but maybe I missed it. And of course, all of this is foisted upon us by George Soros, the evil George Soros, so Monsanto can genetically modify the cannabis plant. And they're backed by the corporate whores of the Oaksterdam Mafia. I know the folks at Oaksterdam, man. Kindest people you could ever meet. I mean, I only needed to get a Bilderberger or a trilateral commission out of her to fill out my tinfoil hat bingo card today. I love how these anti-legalization people get all up in arms about George Soros. Oh, the evil George Soros and Monsanto. So evil for supporting Prop 64. Now, 20 years ago when he was bankrolling Prop 215, not so evil. No, I never heard a bad word about George Soros from the medical marijuana people. You're pissed off that he passed Prop 215 for us. Anyway, to continue, another thing she asserted today is that Prop 64 will take away the right to grow cannabis that Californians enjoy under their constitution. That's right. I didn't know if you knew this, but adults in California have a right to grow cannabis under the constitution. Now, I asked her a whole bunch of times where that was in the constitution. Because it seemed to me there's a whole bunch of sheriffs and city councils and county commissions in California that didn't get the memo about that right to grow cannabis. Finally, she did reply to it. She finally replied to it. Her reply was, California Constitution Article 2, Section 10C protects all Prop 215 rights, including grow, from being changed by the legislature, end quote. Oh, Prop 215 is what you're citing. Well, first of all, Prop 215 is not in the Constitution. It's a statute. Second of all, that California Constitution part that she listed is the generic part of the it's a generic statute or part of the Constitution, generic section of the Constitution, referring to any initiative passed by the people. It says that, you know, if the people pass an initiative, that the legislature can't change that. But, you know, for her, that's a right of adults to grow cannabis. Now, funny, I don't recall any of my rights that requires a doctor's permission slip. And without that permission slip, I face a felony for even a single cannabis seedling. And she went on about this, and the whole a couple of other people are joining in too now. It's like, you don't be afraid of a doctor. The cost for your doctor's note to be less than any of the fines or anything that you'd pay. Just go get your doctor's note. And I hear this so many times from the freaking medical people and the stoners against legalization in California. It just makes me want to bang my head against a wall, because people, medical is not legalization. Medical is not legalization. Medical isn't even decriminalization. Medical is an affirmative defense to criminal laws that you are breaking. Every patient in California right now who is possessing marijuana and growing cannabis plants is committing an infraction with possession or a misdemeanor if it's over an ounce, and a felony if they're growing cannabis plants. And they can be arrested and charged. But if they've got their doctor's note, the case will be dismissed. Affirmative defense, people. And what happens if I'm newly moved to California and I haven't gotten around to getting my doctor's permission slip and I happen to get busted with my cannabis plant? That's right. It's a felony. I'm going to prison. So don't give me Prop 215 as your excuse as to why we shouldn't pass Prop 64, because Prop 64 doesn't affect Prop 215. The other thing she wrote today, she wrote, quote, "Decriminalization in California has let people possess transport a lot more than a pound," end quote. Well, that's news to me, because there must be some super secret decrim that passed after Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's 1 ounce decrim passed in 2010. See, here's a situation where she doesn't even know the definitions of the terms we're using in reform. Decriminalization in the context of marijuana reform refers to the reduction in penalty for the possession of a personal amount of cannabis to that of an infraction with no arrest, jail time, or criminal record. That's decriminalization. California's had it since 2010. It allows you to have an ounce and only get a ticket. It does not allow you to possess and transport a lot more than a pound. Once again, she's referring to medical marijuana. She is referring to Prop 215, the special club you get to be in if you're sick or you don't mind lying to a doctor and abusing a law. And that's part of what pisses me off about these people coming back at me like, why don't you just go get your rec? Why don't you just go get your rec? Because all the people that are just getting their rec, every single one of them is a case for a lawmaker in Georgia to stall on medical marijuana for patients that really deserve it. We don't want to turn out like California, where it's just Wild West free for all. We could finally legalize in California and end the charade that a lot of young people are playing, and for that matter, older people too, the charade that people are playing when they walk into the dock in the tent or the sign twirler at Venice Beach, or go online for that matter, and talk on Skype to someone you've never met, who's never seen your medical records, who's never examined you, claim anything, and then get a medical marijuana card. It's that loosey-goosey system of wink-wink, nudge-nudge that made every single medical marijuana state after California get increasingly more restrictive. And now we have the chance to end the bullshit and actually legalize. What else you got? Oh, Letitia Pepper said it's going to lead to more arrests than now. If we legalize an ounce and six plants, it's going to be more arrests than now because, quote, under Prop 64, cop will give you $100 plus $400 in costs ticket if neighbors smelled your weed, end quote. I don't know what she's referring to for a ticket here, since under Prop 64, you can possess an ounce of weed legally, as well as the results of your home grow harvest. So what's your neighbor complaining about that's going to get you a ticket? Stuff you're doing legally? Maybe she's confusing Prop 64 with what happens now when your neighbor complains to the cops about the weed smell. She warns that, quote, you're going to get busted left and right if Prop 64 passes, end quote, because the Prop 64 people are liars, quote, pushing Monsanto Soros agenda, end quote, and everybody supporting Prop 64 is a paid, quote, George Monsanto Soros shill, end quote. A shill. We're all shills. Couldn't be that we just would like to go visit California and smoke some legal weed. Nope. Nope. George Soros has reached out and paid us all. Lady, I got one agenda. I've been clear about this since 2008. My agenda is keep Russ's ass out of a jail cell for smoking pot. That's it. I don't need to be paid to support that. I'm pretty selfish that way. I'm pretty cool with that agenda. I don't want my ass in a jail cell. Now, if I happen to change laws that keep my ass out of a jail cell, that also keeps other people's asses out of a jail cell, raises some tax revenue, and starts to reduce crime and racism in this country, all the better. But this is about me keeping my ass out of a jail cell, and I'm offended by anyone who says I'm a shill to have to stand up for liberty. We got more of this coming up at the top of the hour. Stay tuned. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You're taking seeds, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.